Now, I suppose it would come as no surprise to you if I told you this morning that I believe in the church, that I'm sold on the church, that I have a bias for this organization that lives and breathes in the name of Jesus Christ. It come as no surprise to you because over the last 8 or 9 months that I have told you that the church helped to raise me, the church provided my education for me, it has employed me for the last 40 years, and that it has surrounded my family with love throughout those years. I'm sold on the church. But I want you to know that I'm mostly sold on the church because of the good news it preaches and because of the good work it does for other people. And I believe that enough to try and make you to invite you to do something today that maybe you haven't been planning on doing. More than that, a little later on. There's some key reasons why I'm sold on the church above and beyond my own personal experience. The church preaches good news for you and for me and for everyone. I was at an event up in Oakland the other week, and I was watching this group of 30-somethings interact with one another and have conversation with me. And it struck me, and they're fairly successful folks in their professional lives, and they all have children and good marriages, and it struck me how unhappy they appeared to be. And of course, in my minister mentality, I said, these folks need Jesus, and he's living right in the middle of them, and they don't recognize it. Well, you see, that's what the church is all about doing, is helping people to recognize their need for Jesus and then inviting them to follow in the footsteps of Christ and to be his people and to live their lives in God's way. And Campbell Church is a special place. We do that in a very particular way. We are a progressive congregation that offers a reconciling and compassionate faith to anyone and everyone who walks in the door. The church is special. I'm sold on it because it offers the good news that all people need to hear. Second reason I'm sold on the church is because it's good for you. It's good for you and me. There's an institute at Duke University that studies the nature of the church and of faith, and they recently published some statistics that I found interesting. And they said that number one, that for people who are committed churchgoers are happier than the general population. Their study showed that 68% of people who are committed to the church describe themselves as very happy and satisfied with their lives, a much higher percentage than the general population. It also showed that in this committed church group that family life was far stronger than in the rest of the population. And it also showed that the people who are committed to being a part of the church tended to be more loving, more understanding, and more tolerant of people of different races and religions, and rather than the general population. They were far more accepting of others, the report said. And I thought, as I was reading that, I thought, and that's kind of the way Campbell Church is too, isn't it? We are a caregiving fellowship that also at times is willing to take significant risks in the name of Jesus Christ. And we seem to be happy people living our lives. And the third reason I'm sold on the church is that the things that we do tend to be good for other people. Again, that Duke study noted that the people who were committed to the church were far more involved in working with the community to improve the quality of life than the uncommitted or nominally committed church group. Almost 50% of church people worked in some way with the poor, the homeless, or older people, or those who in some way are rejected by society at large. Church people seem to understand that God works in us and through us, that every person is important, that everyone has something to give, everyone has a contribution to make, everyone has a unique ability that God can use. And so we, more than others, tend to stand up and courageously speak out for the hopeless, the helpless, and the hapless in our communities. There's a story about a teacher. She was turning 90 years of age, and a number of her former students and co-workers had gathered to celebrate her birthday, and she made the comment standing by her birthday cake. She said, "You know, I was so poorly equipped to be a teacher compared to teachers today. I didn't have the breadth of education, all of the teaching skills. I didn't have access to all of the materials and the internet that others had." And then she reflected and said, "I guess all that I had to give was love." That's the nature of the church. Primarily, what we have to give is love. So, I'm sold on the church because of what it proclaims, how it cares for people, and how it cares for people. But now we're getting to the point where I'm going to invite you to do something. I believe that the church, though, is only strong to live out what it's supposed to do if the members of congregations like ours take care of themselves. If they take care to deepen and strengthen and broaden their spiritual faith commitments, to deepen their relationship with Jesus Christ and to learn and grow in how to apply that faith in the individual day-to-day living of what they do and corporately as a group as we seek to care for people in our community. This is what St. Paul is talking about, that phrase in the scripture that Jenny just read to us where it said, "We ask you to commit your body, you know, as a perfect and living sacrifice to the Lord." What he's saying is that you have to commit your entire life, all that you are and all that you have, to Jesus' ways, to give of your heart and your mind, and to be prepared to do that. To 2 weeks from today is the first Sunday of Lent, and which begins on the 22nd with Ash Wednesday. What I'm going to invite you to do that maybe you weren't planning on doing is this, is to intentionally strengthen your faith and the life of this congregation by being involved in the Lenten dynamic this year in ways that maybe you have never been involved before. We've prayed about this here in the worship leadership team and in some other small groups. And what we've prepared for you is a variety of ways for you to grow in the faith this year so that you can live your life more dynamically for Christ. First of all, there's at least three special opportunities this year. The first is we want to offer you the opportunity of significantly meaningful worship services. In Lent, there are 5 Sundays. In Holy Week, leading up to Easter and including Easter, there are 4 additional worship services. Each one is going to be geared toward speaking to you about how you take ownership on your faith and how you apply it to your faith journey. I want to ask you to be more faithful in coming to worship during Lent and Easter than maybe you were planning on being this year. The second thing I want to offer you is that whether you're aware of it or not, we have some very wonderful regular opportunities for spiritual growth. Right now, while we're here in this sanctuary, there's a adult Sunday school class going on in the fellowship hall, in the fireside room rather, and it's an exciting, somewhat offbeat, dynamic study of a variety of subjects. You might want to consider becoming a part of that adult Bible or that adult study group during Lent this year, or maybe you would like to join the Sunrise Seekers. Right now, we're in the middle of studying a book about how religions become toxic and violent, and how to not be that way. I know all of you would be excited about being at church at 6:45 a.m. No? Two Wednesdays a week to be engaged in some of the most exciting conversations that I've ever been involved in. And there are other opportunities here at the church to grow your faith and to grow the witness of this congregation. And then the third type of opportunity that we have is this very special Lenten activities that you are being presented with by the church as a whole. All of us can be involved in three activities. One is that we're beginning a new Methodist 101 class. And to show you how preachers operate, I haven't talked to Bruce about this yet, even though he's the one that leads that group. That's a group that's going to be talking with people who will be joining the church, newcomers to the congregation. And it is educating them. But Bruce, why not have anybody who wants to brush up on their faith be a part of that group? It meets at 10:30 on Sunday mornings. You could grow your faith by being a part of that process. Secondly, there is going to be this Lent a pastor's Bible study luncheon. Every Wednesdays at noon, I'm going to lead a Bible study kind of around the theme of learning once again to read your Bible. We're going to talk each week a little bit about what are the ways and how you can best approach reading the Bible and making the best sense out of it And then we'll also talk about your questions about the Bible. Bring a brown bag lunch. Come and join me Wednesdays in the library from 12 to 1 or 1:30 if you can stay that long. There's also going to be, once again, soup and study programs on Wednesday evenings. We've done this, you know, in the past, a light meal centered around soup, presentations by some very special individuals to help us think about issues. I was talking with Franklin Bondano before the church service started about Assemblymember Bell, who's going to be here on March 6th to talk about us about the social network or the safety network here in the valley, and others that are going to help us, are going to challenge us and help us grow as we consider how this church can best serve in our community. Those are for all of us. But if you'd like maybe not to have to deal with men during Lent in this process, I'm going to have to talk to the choir after church about that. I haven't got there yet. Oh, soup is Tuesday night. Thank you. Yes, I said soup on Wednesday nights. It's Tuesday nights. Excuse me. Thank you. There's going to be a women's Lenten study this year. It's going to be at Tuesdays at 9:30 in the morning, and all women are invited to be a part of that spiritual reflection group. And if you want to do something manly, on March 10th, there's going to be a men's retreat up at Los Altos United Methodist Church, and we're going to be joining with the men from the other churches on our circuit, you know, Los Gatos and Cambria Park and Good Samaritan and others, where we're going to be reflecting on, you know, on the process of what it means to be a faithful man in our contemporary society. What we are preparing is a Lent that has the possibility of changing your life. And because you're open to letting it change your life, the potential of changing the life of this congregation and growing us in faith and service in ways we can't even imagine. So this morning, I invite you, I encourage you, I call for you to commit your body, all that you have and all that you are, in following Christ this coming Lent. Call for you to grow in the faith so that we can continue to be an amazing church, proclaiming Jesus Christ and serving his people as best we can. Now, I don't expect you to remember all of that. That's why the addendum has all this information in it this morning. And I want you to take that home and to sincerely consider where you can connect with spiritual growth this Lent for yourself, for the church, and for the people we serve. In Jesus' name, amen.